Welcome to iHeartMedia Communities. I'm Heather White from 98.1 KVET, and I have Suzanne Potts from the Autism Society of Texas here. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's been a while since we had you on the show. I'm very happy to have you back.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be back.
And of course, you are here because April is
Autism Awareness Month.
Yes, because we're aware.
Yes, very aware.
But not everybody is.
No, not everybody is. And we are really moving past, you know, creating a state or an area of awareness and moving into acceptance. I think a lot more people know about autism, but accepting it and learning to deal with it and live with it is a whole other thing in our community.
And I think that's really wise to differentiate. I know my kids started off in full inclusion, so they were totally mainstreamed. And my son, when he was in elementary school, I remember one day his friend came. I was waiting for him to pick him up, and his friend had on a Pokemon shirt. And I said, "Hey, cool shirt, man." And he goes, "I know. Brendan's been obsessed with it all day about my son." But he didn't say Brendan was being weird. It was just Brendan. That's how he is, because Cole just totally accepted Brendan as is.
Awesome.
That's his deal. And that is really what this is all about, is making autism just one of those things. Some people are blonde, some people have green eyes, and some people have autism.
Exactly. Some of us have autism and just do things differently, or
sure,
obsess about things differently, or maybe have repetitive movements or emotions, and that's okay. That's one of the things we're trying to tell kids in schools or community members or family members even, that everyone is different. We're all wired differently, and that is okay, and that we need to look out for those folks who need more support.
And one of the things I think is kind of funny is if you couch things a little differently, people look at it totally differently. Like if my son, my son will get very obsessed with SpongeBob. If he had that kind of focus on playing baseball, he would be an awesome athlete and no one would even think twice about his focus.
Exactly.
The other part that cracks me up, I said this to my boyfriend the other day. I said, my son's kind of a flapper. When he gets excited, he flaps his hands. And I said, you know what? I said, do it. Try it. And he kind of flapped his hands. I said, if you really are honest, there are moments that things are so exciting that jumping up and down or flapping your hands would be fabulous.
Yes.
I said, just happens to be that our kids don't hold back.
Yep, exactly. It's that lack of filter. And it is. It's sometimes really endearing or lightning, or you think, wow, man, I wish I could just do that.
And yeah,
we have learned to stifle ourselves. And for my son's 13 and was diagnosed with autism at 5. He has learned kind of socially appropriate responses to things. He's learned kind of how to respond when someone says, hi, how are you? For a long time, he wouldn't respond, or he would just start talking about Minecraft. And now he'll say, fine, thanks, how are you? Like, it might be very rote and robotic, but he has learned. And he also has learned flapping is not always comfortable in front of mixed crowds, so he does not flap at school. But I know he fidgets and has to kind of sit on his hands.
And so. but you've taught him some tools,
exactly,
and the school has given him an avenue, sitting on his hands or sitting on like a bouncy seat or something like that, whatever it is that it takes to help him to get through the day and be the best that he can be.
Yes.
And have as good a day. That's kind of the goal.
That's exactly it. We just want him to lead a happy, healthy life. The challenge with autism is that no two look alike, right?
Right.
We call it a snowflake disorder because there's no two exactly the same. You have the same, you know, signs and symptoms, but the depth of severity of symptoms really varies from person to person. And there's no physical characteristics of it other than maybe a repetitive movement or motion or obsessive interest. And so people don't always know right away what it is.
Sure.
And so, and it doesn't look the same. And so people say, well, I had a cousin with autism and he liked trucks. Does your son like trucks? And I'm like, well, no, but that's a good example where it's an obsessive interest.
Right.
So just, again, kind of telling people about what it is and how it represents or kind of manifests in different people has been our big mission, to reduce the stigma and then help people understand it really looks differently at everyone.
If you're just tuning in, we're talking to Suzanne Potts. She's the executive director of the Autism Society of Texas. One of the things that I also am enjoying is celebrities coming out as autism or on the spectrum or whatever, like Dan Aykroyd.
Yes.
Dan Aykroyd to me is a great example because Dan Aykroyd is a goofball and he has a different sense of humor, but he's Dan Aykroyd. Everybody loves him. So when he came out and said, you know, I have Asperger's or whatever he said,
yep,
I was just like, yes! Every time I hear somebody who talks about the fact that they or their children or whatever, it helps to the acceptance.
Yeah, absolutely. We're seeing more and more kind of famous folks coming out, or maybe they have children with autism, which, you know, sometimes it can be a disservice. Some of the more vocal folks, you really have to make sure you're on message. Yeah, exactly. You have to stay on message and make sure you're not doing harm, right?
No, right.
But at the same time, they've really elevated our cause and helped us understand and share the message that you can be anyone with autism. Not everyone is a Dan Aykroyd, right? Not everyone is an Einstein.
Sure.
The challenge with a lot of our folks with autism, they're significantly impaired, have really limited verbal skills, may need a lot of higher level of care at home. It's difficult because you pair them in a boat with someone who's like a Dan Aykroyd or a Daryl Hannah, and they say, well, you don't have the same thing I have. But again, it comes down to that depth of severity and challenges. Mm-hmm. It's social and communication. It's eye contact. It's, you know, obsessive interests. Some folks are able to then learn those appropriate behaviors and then channel it into a career or
sure.
a topic of interest and can have kind of normal communication with folks.
And we at our house talk about this a lot, about what would you like to do when you get older and how can we get there? And my son is obsessed with video games, but creating them.
Oh, good.
He writes to, he writes down pages and pages of like who's in it, who's, NPC, non-playable characters, who can be locked and unlocked, who can you buy, who can be bonuses. Oh, my Lord. Pages of information. And I said to him, you know, buddy, I said, what we're going to have to do is get you some more computer classes so that you can turn this that's on paper into something that we could actually play.
That's
and
great.
As he's gotten older and he goes to a computer lab at school, et cetera, that has been an option. You know, may not be the option yet, mm-hmm. but instead of just shutting down and being scared of it and saying no, which he used to when he was younger,
right.
now he's like, oh, well, maybe I could do that. And I'm like, yes.
Good.
And so I think it's also, you know, exactly as you say, if you're able to help whoever that is, child or adult, find that focus and turn that focus into something that benefits them, that's going to be just satisfying and practical.
Yes. That's one of the things we've been trying to do, is show that individuals with autism are vibrant, active members of our community. They're not just recipients of services, or always needing something. And so we have a lot of our adults that we're working with that are looking for jobs, are looking to volunteer, or just work on those soft skills, like mm-hmm. those people skills remain a challenge for a lot of our folks with autism. And did you know that up to 80% of autistic adults are unemployed or underemployed?
Ooh.
And that's a really shocking statistic.
Yeah,
we've been
high.
Looking at it for years now. The Kessler Institute does a lot of reporting on it. And overwhelmingly, our adults and young adults are unemployed or underemployed. And so they're getting jobs maybe at a fast food place or something that's barely paying a minimum wage. They're living at home longer, and they're not able to sustain a livable wage within their communities because of those soft skills.
Right.
Right? And so they might be able to get a job, but it's keeping a job.
Yeah.
And so we've been really working. We got a grant from the city of Austin to help that, to work on some employment skills or life skills, and also just volunteerism. Getting them out to give back.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what Autism Society of Texas does and how we can participate, not just in April, obviously, but sure. year-round.
Yeah, absolutely. So April is kind of our month. We have a ton of events on our calendar. We also have events statewide. We are the Autism Society of Texas, so we have events in San Antonio, a huge walk and conference in El Paso. We
cool.
have partners in Houston. So we provide information referrals. That's the biggest thing that we do, is help families navigate autism. You can call our office and talk to a social worker or some of our staff that are our volunteers will help you navigate those early stages. We get families that come in all ages. So newly diagnosed families, teenagers going through
sure.
transition, all of them. Anyone can call our office. We don't have like an age limit. And then support. That's another part of the giving out referrals and helping families navigate, is just supporting them along the way. So it's an actual person. You don't just get a website or a link.
Right.
You get to talk to someone who's kind of walked the walk. Education, advocacy, and community inclusion opportunities, we say. So we're trying to, again, help our community embrace and welcome people that have differences. And so offering special sensory-friendly hours, or working with AMC and Alamo for All to create sensory-friendly opportunities. We want our families to be out. A lot of families with autism are very isolated.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
This opportunity is to get them into the community.
So Suzanne Potts is Executive Director of Autism Society of Texas. How have things been with the legislative session? Because we're in the midst of our, you know, every other year session. And I don't know. I know you guys are always busy down there
yes.
at the Capitol.
Yes.
Have you gotten anywhere with these folks?
That's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. Next.
Sorry.
No, we've got a great group of legislators on both sides of the aisle, both Democrats and Republicans. We've got some wonderful leaders here in Texas that do have autism in their family,
mm-hmm.
either have their kids or family members or loved ones. So they are very attuned to, you know, helping us. There's a lot of great bills out there that we're looking at that are working to help expand autism programming or support families with autism that are struggling in special education or perhaps are testing. You know, we will see where those bills end up at the end of session, mm-hmm. but we're going to have an advocacy day on April 12th.
Cool.
And that's the first time we're doing it as a collaborative. So the Texas Autism Advocacy Day is a collaboration of the Texas Autism Advocacy Alliance.
Okay.
We brought together kind of all the major autism organizations and disability
Excellent.
Organizations. Yeah, we feel like Switzerland. We kind of linked arms with everyone and we're like, let's come together and work together.
That's
instead
excellent.
Of all of us going up and having our separate right. days, let's all go have one day for autism.
That's good.
So I'm really excited. We have over 100 people that have already registered and more every day. And we're going to have advocacy sessions in the morning and training around kind of autism specific topics. Things like expanding Medicaid to cover ABA therapy or adding money to the autism program statewide or putting back money into the early childhood interventions because mm-hmm. we know early childhood interventions are the most critical time. And right now there's some pretty significant cuts to both of those programs in both the House and the Senate budgets. So there's work to do. There's still some advocating and educating, I think, with our legislators, but we've got some wonderful champions.
So if somebody is listening to us and they're going, gosh, you know, my sister's kid seems like maybe he has, or they've talked about it or whatever, where do they start?
They can call our office and we can get them connected to some, you know, diagnosticians or developmental pediatricians that can help get that diagnosis. There are some specific folks that do a set of instruments, ADOS, and some specific autism-related tools that will diagnose. So there's no blood test for autism.
Right.
There's no one thing, but you have to go through a series of assessments and getting feedback from your parents and your family members. So that's the first step. Trying to find the right person to get that diagnosis is critical.
I know I fought the label for a while with my son. He was diagnosed at 3, and for 6 months, I remember fighting his pediatrician, who herself had a son on the spectrum. And I went, and finally one day I called her and was like, okay, you win. You're right. And it's interesting because I've talked to other parents who have bucked against the label. And I'm like, you know, if you don't have that label, they're not going to get services. And so as life-changing as it is to get a diagnosis, it's going to be better in the long run for your child.
Absolutely. We were the exact same way. We fought the label too. We said, well, he's speech delayed. Well, he's got sensory processing disorder.
Oh, sounds like
all these things. And meanwhile, he was flapping and rocking mm-hmm. and having repetitive emotions and interests. And he had autism. And so ultimately, it became clear when he was in kindergarten that he needed services.
Mm-hmm.
And we had been privately paying for services and supports because we knew those other areas could be fixed or addressed early. And that was critical. But the autism part, I think for a lot of families, it's still really hard to hear. It's not a death sentence.
No. You know,
our son has taught us so many things, and we would not be the same family without him. And to walk this path with autism isn't always easy, but now we've got this incredible network of autism families and, you know, folks that we can talk to about it that understand.
Yes.
And he's a remarkable boy. So if we hadn't done the early intervention, if we hadn't at least looked at those challenge areas, we wouldn't be where we are today. I'm sure of it.
And it really is incredible. Suzanne, before we run out of time, what's your website?
Our website is TexasAutismSociety.org.
TexasAutismSociety.org. I know that as autism parents ourselves, it's just one of those things where you go, you shift your expectations for what things are going to be. But ultimately, like any other parent, you just want your child to be happy and healthy and have as great a life as possible. I know you say your son is remarkable. I know I say my son is the most positive person in my life. I mean, like,
that's awesome.
I come home with new earrings on. He's like, oh, Mom, your earrings are so pretty. I'm like,
love
if
it.
If I could find a man who does.
Right? Exactly.
You know, just super. And so it's nice in April to get to focus a little bit and to get people excited and interested and at least to find out.
Yeah, we have a whole bunch of awareness activities and acceptance activities where people are doing things in the community, getting out involved. We've got some proclamations coming up. We've got so city officials are getting involved. We've got a Kendra Scott night. We're going to the ballpark. We have a day at the Thinkery.
Nice.
So a lot of our community partners have really opened their doors and arms to our autism community to help us raise awareness and acceptance for autism. And it's been really fun. And we do it year-round, obviously.
Of course.
But April's our month, and so we have a lot of fun just, again, getting out and getting our families out involved.
Thank you for coming and talking to us. And the website, again, is?
TexasAutismSociety.org.
I should know that by now. Suzanne Potts, Executive Director of the Autism Society of Texas. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.